I'm getting more and more bitter. So.
Oh.
Unless the Happy Reaper cheers me up.
The Happy Reaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, who was the Happy Reaper?
I don't know. I thought it was you.
I'm the Happy Reaper. Happy, Happy Reaper. I'm the Happy Reaper.
Lovely liqueur.
Greetings, cocktail fans, and welcome to the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure. I'm Dave, along with Fred.
Fred, yes.
Hello, Fred.
Hello, Dave.
And Jason, who's cackling maniacally.
It's like a
fest.
Yes.
I, too, am here.
Yes.
Greetings and felicitations.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Is that show still on? It was never the same after she cut her hair.
You're right.
You're right.
They changed the tone.
Yeah. Well,
This is the last show of the new year. Not the new year, of the old year.
Of the old year, yes.
Bye-bye 2018.
Yeah. To be followed by the first show of the new year.
Possibly.
Hmm.
What?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this one goes.
It's a progression. I think one follows the next, unless we loop back in time.
We could do that.
Or the whole Mayan calendar thing tells us that's the end of the epoch.
All bets are off.
Didn't that happen like in 2006?
Well, yeah, but it's... they might have got it wrong.
Oh, sure.
We don't know how accurate they were.
And they used rechargeable batteries, and they're just... they're phenomenally unreliable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you guys have a good Christmas?
Everybody has a good Christmas.
Oh, good. Good. Excellent.
Is that not true?
Well, not for poor people.
Oh, that's true.
Aww.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry to bring everybody down.
In 2019, there will be no poor people.
Oh, excellent.
Yep.
Oh, well, that's starting better already.
Yep. Yes, though. Christmas was wonderful as always, and hopefully you, dear listener, also had a wonderful holiday season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever your holiday was.
Yeah.
You're off anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So
odds are.
Probably.
So whether you were
if you're listening to a cocktail podcast, odds are...
You've got a lot of problems.
You've got a lot of problems.
Delete to your
time on your hands.
Well, what are we making on today's show, gents?
Well, I think last year... Oh my God. Fred's had a stroke.
Cocktails.
Yes. That's what we're about.
I wanted to get that answer in before, I just wanted to make
before
sure...
Before the new year.
In case anybody, I didn't want the conversation to go in a different direction. I wanted to make sure we stayed focused on cocktails. Speaking of which...
Oh, yes.
Before we do that, I brought some stuff.
Oh!
So,
boozy stuff?
Oh, do we have
boozy stuff.
Do we have music for this, Paul?
Maybe. Insert music here.
I'm being told we don't have time for this.
Oh. I also brought popcorn, but Dave says we can't eat it until after the show.
Right.
Because of... broadcast rule. What's the rule?
It's like smoking. You can't eat popcorn on...
That's right.
I think Peter Zosky smoked. I think he had a special button.
Yeah, and where is he now?
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah. Yikes.
Turns out what you brought was popcorn.
It's not the real stuff.
Sprayed with shellac so that it doesn't turn. Here, well, I'm just going to walk over to the other side of the microphone here just to throw you all off.
The way you said that now, I feel like I'm sprayed with shellac.
Yeah.
Black Jack shellac.
Yeah.
So this is what I have.
You've brought show and tell.
We brought show and tell. It's too bad the folks can't see it.
Yes.
Well, they can if they go to
the people on the video can see it.
People, we do have our video.
And we'll have tell and tell.
Aquavit. This is your Norwegian liqueur.
Yes, caraway seed.
Oh, excellent. I
huge
do
demand
want to try this.
Caraway seed liqueur.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And this is Carrington Canadian whiskey.
Yes.
From Calgary, Canada. A lot of alliteration.
Yeah, no, they're known for their alliteration.
But if you notice on the side, and it looks like a gigantic Avon perfume bottle.
It does. They were very stylish back in that time period.
This was bottled in the year 1980.
I know. I know, right? And this is probably, this doesn't even have a year on it, but judging by the crooked label on it, it was a time when people didn't care about the presentation.
1980. Where did you find this bottle of whiskey? Is this what you're? Is this going to be the tell part of your show?
Well, it's a short story.
The end.
Sheila Sherman.
Oh yes, our friend.
Our friend Sheila Sherman, friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
A constant listener. that a thing?
Are we getting a sample or no?
Do you want to? I don't know. Do you want to open it up?
I don't know.
It's up to you. Let's
do the Aquavit. We'll save the Canadian whiskey for a Canadian whiskey cocktail, maybe. Vintage whiskey tastes like. But yeah, so she, packing up her folks' place in the crawl space. She found these bottles. She sort of dragged them to her new place, and she's not into the Aquavit.
No?
Let's see. I didn't have a look at the Aquavit bottle.
Yeah.
I assumed that it was a brand new bottle of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, it does have a crooked label.
Mm-hmm.
Aalborg. Aalborg! Sorry. Aquavit, caraway-flavored neutral spirit. 42% alcohol. It run a gold medaille.
The Paris one seemed to be in a long time ago.
Yes, 1900 and another one in 1888.
I don't think the bottle's that old, though.
No one's heard about it since.
Yeah,
made in Glostrup, Denmark. My old boss used to talk about going to buy Aquavit at the store.
Yeah? Did he?
I don't know. He was an idiot.
He talked about it a lot.
The word Aquavit has its origin in Latin.
Does it?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Sounds very Scandinavian to me.
Aquavitae is the water of life.
Oh,
good. Yeah.
And it's been the national drink of the Danes.
I'm going to jump in here because the Danes, although they produce it, the Norwegians say they produce a superior aquavit.
Oh,
and here's why. I think I mentioned this on an episode quite a while ago.
Mm.
And the deal was Norway sent a whole shipment of aquavit to India.
Yeah.
Back in the, who knows when, I don't know, 20th century, early 20th century. And they thought they're going to try and sell it in India. And it was a huge flop.
Oh.
So they sent it all back. But they found, the Norwegians found that when they opened the crates and tasted it, it tasted better than when it left.
Right.
And so they came up with the idea that it's because of the shipment going rolling across the ocean, the humidity of the maritime climate of the ocean.
It wasn't bottled then, it was in big...
Big casks or something like that. And anyways, apparently they still, the Norwegians, for their quality control, they actually bottle their aquavit, put it on a ship, send it to Australia, and then it turns around, the ship turns around and comes back. And then they offload it, and then they sell it.
Wouldn't that be a great cruise?
Yeah.
That would be.
So why don't they send it to India, if that was the secret recipe?
Well, I guess they thought it might take off there. It's hot. Maybe they want
to. No, but
why are they still sending it to India?
I don't know.
Than going to Australia.
I don't know.
That angle, you'd think. Does it go through the Suez Canal?
I
you have very little information.
I didn't realize you wanted the whole biography of Aquavit.
What was the captain's name? Yeah, no, that's much more than I needed. It's fantastic. Welcome to the show. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Yeah,
but we got the Danish one.
But I want the Norwegian one now.
Yeah, I know.
Because I have Norwegian heritage.
Do you?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. From
which part?
On your, the Nygaards, right? The Nygaards?
That's
the
right.
Nygaards, the jacket people?
That's right. I'm the heir to the Nygaard jacket fortune.
Wow. You really are a gentleman.
I don't like to talk about it.
Sure. No, I understand.
Yes.
You want to be kidnapped by banditos.
Yes, I've got a little bit of Norwegian in me, whereas I don't think I have any Danish.
No.
Oh, but I love a Danish.
Oh, sure.
You need a Danish. Yeah.
I'm starving.
Maybe
we should eat
Danish
before this thing.
Yeah.
It's crystal clear and flavored with caraway. It seems like a bad idea. Serve it ice cold, straight from the freezer in small glasses, about 1 ounce.
See, that's why they sent it to India. They wanted to cool everybody down.
That putting stuff in the freezer thing does sound like something from the 80s or 90s, doesn't it? I don't think, you still do vodka that way, but I still don't think it's the best way to drink your vodka.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Minus 10 Fahrenheit.
And they say they have a couple of cocktail suggestions here. Half dry vermouth, half or more orange juice, and a third. They don't even say what, just a third.
The math doesn't add up.
Yeah. A third of it is this.
Yeah.
The other half is vermouth.
Yeah.
And the other half or more is orange juice.
Okay, that's...
That's Danish math for you.
Yeah, I guess so. That's why they never put a man on the moon.
Is Denmark still the owner of Greenland?
Yep.
It's another big sticking point.
don't. That's a whole problem right there.
It clearly belongs to Canada.
Of course it does.
It's right there.
Just like the Alaska Panhandle belongs to British Columbia.
Exactly.
As I've always said.
Yeah.
So we're starting Panhandle. Our campaign tonight. Give us all your ice.
All your geographic complaints. So you want to try a little sippy poo of the...
I do. And it says the Flying Dane, one measure of it.
Oh.
And then bitter lemon to taste.
Bitter lemon.
Bitter lemon.
Bitter lemon.
All right, Freddie.
Bitter right
on your
lemon. So this is Freddy. Aquavit.
Yes.
Now, what's the other one? What's the one that's like egg yolk?
That's avocat.
Ah. Oh, my God, my neck. Jesus Christ.
I thought that was going to help.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
On the unlicensed hands of a professional.
Smells just like booze.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's full, too, right? I mean, it's right up the neck.
Yeah.
So this hasn't. There's no angel share here.
No, the angels don't want any aquavit.
No,
it's one thing we've learned.
Yeah, they're not big fans of aquavit. All right, this is one for somebody.
Mm-hmm. Will this make me see Hamlet's father's ghost?
There's every chance that it will.
Oh yeah, it smells like caraway.
Mm.
Don't have a.
It makes me want to have some kind of a Reuben or something. Pastrami on rye.
Oh, pastrami on rye.
Oh, I know. Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
Why don't we eat a sandwich every couple of weeks instead of this nonsense?
All right, let's try this. Yeah, let's...
It's not the worst thing I've ever had.
It's not the worst thing I ever had.
That's their slogan. Yeah. It's not the worst thing.
It's definitely
ever.
As advertised, right?
Yeah, yeah, no,
it's definitely.
It's definitely caraway.
It's caraway. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's aged well, or it's not. You know,
I would not guess that it was 42% alcohol.
Really?
Well, it didn't like burn up my mouth.
No, it's not
like overproof rum or something.
And it hasn't evaporated, so because you know the bottle was just as full as you'd ever want a bottle to be. So,
yeah, actually, my second sip was less flavorful than my first sip. Somehow, it makes no sense.
Sort of, all your taste buds have burnt off.
Yes,
torched off.
Wow,
it's got a little bit of anise to it too.
Yeah, but I think caraway. Might have a little bit of anise
maybe
flavor
that's
to it.
Maybe,
because when you think of...
So maybe that's why it's not...
But I think if you served it with ice, you know, it would maybe help the...
And there's a bunch of cocktails with this stuff, too. So that's, I was thinking about buying a bottle. Remember, we were down in Portlandia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at a bottle down there.
Right. And you said, I think I need this for something.
I think I need this for something. I don't know what, but then I bought... what did I buy instead? Something rum or something. I think I bought some dark rum.
You might have.
Running low.
I bought a couple of bourbons.
Oh, you did. Anyway, there we go. So
I'm pleasantly surprised by that.
Yeah. So we'll maybe factor that into some future cocktails.
No, we won't.
But what will we make on today's show?
Well, if you may recall...
I've got a bad memory, so you're going to have to remind me.
I'll tell you in the listening audience. Last year, we did bubbly, sparkly drinks for New Year's Eve.
Oh,
did we?
Oh,
and
we're
you
so
know.
Timely.
I think.
Go ahead.
You're right on the nose, right on the button.
Go on. What are we going to say?
I was saying 10 episodes ago, Fred and I did fizzy drinks.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. We did the strawberry gin fizz and your Floradora.
Yes.
Florodora? Something like that.
Something like that.
But,
nice.
But yeah.
But we like fizzy drinks. I have to say, a lot of drinks are fizzy.
Yeah, that's true.
We should do them more than once a year anyway.
Yeah. Every drink should be fizzy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or fuzzy, depending on how old your ingredients are.
Yeah.
But, we did sparklers, and then I thought, what if you didn't have champagne, but you still wanted to have a sparkling drink?
Yeah.
Well, you can make a sparkling drink with sparkling water.
Well, that's crazy.
I know.
Are you sure?
I don't know. We're going to find out tonight, because these are lovely liqueurs.
What?
Yeah. Lovely liqueurs.
You like your alliteration.
I don't like alliteration that much.
You love it.
Have you ever heard the name David Wolowidnik?
No.
We've mentioned him before on our show.
The opposite of
What?
Award-winning bartender?
That's right. World-famous bartender.
And he's where now?
He is at Resurrection Spirits, I think they're called, in Vancouver, British Columbia.
We really need to do a field trip down there.
We should. And he won the inaugural World's Most Imaginative Bartender. Not because of his drinks, but because of his storytelling.
That's right.
He's also... Was it James and the Giant Peach? Was that one of his?
Yeah.
What a crazy idea.
He did James and the Giant Peach Bellini.
Wow. Oh, he is imaginative.
Yeah. And he writes for Taste Magazine, which I often dip into for drink ideas. Mm-hmm. And in this one here, which was Lovely Liqueurs... He had these two that involved a little bit of club soda in them. So I spun his Lively Liqueurs into a New Year's Eve fizz fest.
Fizz fest?
Fizz fest.
With Lovely Liqueurs?
Yeah, with Lovely Liqueurs. And the first Lovely Liqueur we're going to use is Grand Marnier. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking you don't have a bottle of Grand Marnier.
Everybody's got a bottle.
Everybody's got one.
Everybody do you have one?
There it is.
Dave has one.
Yeah, do you have one?
I have one.
Yes. Everybody has issued one.
At birth.
At birth.
You hang on to.
You might not get it at birth, but one has been allocated for you. You will end up with it.
It's coming.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it yet. Don't worry. It's on its way.
It's on its way. Mm. Nobody has ever bought a bottle of Grand Marnier. You were always given one as a gift.
Yeah. From the government. To welcome you into this
world.
Yeah. In fact, I believe, and I was saying off mic earlier, I believe Dave's dad gave me this bottle of Grand Marnier.
He's a very generous guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I haven't got one from him yet, but I'm sure it's coming.
Well, I might have been pre-you.
Oh, that's... okay.
And
that was the first liqueur I ever bought.
You shouldn't have bought it. You were going to get one. You didn't know.
That's why I had two for a while.
Yeah.
I was wondering why I had two bottles. It didn't make any sense. I wasn't drinking enough of it, but...
Hmm.
Yeah. No, it was back in the day. You would just get a snifter full of Grand Marnier and be very classy.
Yeah, so you thought that was the right thing to do.
Sure. Yeah,
it's mostly brandy with orange flavor.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So I just knocked those back.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, you realized that you didn't do that. But by then it was too late.
By then it was too late, and I still had mostly a full bottle of Grand Marnier.
I think quite often you get it the same time you get your first velvet bag of Crown Royal.
I do believe they do come around the same, I think, within the same year.
Yeah. And they both look suitably fantastic.
Oh, they look great. Look at that bottle.
Anyway.
Nothing else looks like it.
You have one in your cupboard.
Sure.
You think you don't.
Yeah. Look in the back.
Well, look, it's by the Galliano.
Folks, go to your cupboard right now. We'll wait.
We'll wait.
Yeah, sure.
See, get your Grand Marnier.
So we're going to use Grand Marnier. And this is called the Grand Marnier Spagliato.
Spagliato.
And now we did a Spagliato. Spagliato before.
Yep.
Which was the screwed up Negroni.
Yes.
The Negroni that went bad.
Or did it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Negroni normally is Campari.
Gin.
Gin. And sweet vermouth.
Yeah.
Italian vermouth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Spagliati mistake was Grand Marnier?
Champagne instead of gin.
Oh, champagne. So, but it was fizzy.
It was fizzy.
Right. So now this, we've gone even weirder.
Right. Even more.
This Spagliato is off the charts.
It's an even bigger mistake.
It's
a disaster. It's got disaster written all over it.
In fact, you know how big a mistake this is? It only has two ingredients if you don't count the soda water. So you've gone from the three ingredients, one that had fizz, to three ingredients, one with fizz. It's really sort of the same. But water, does water really an ingredient?
I don't know. If it's fizzy, I think it is.
I guess you're right. Mixing glass with ice.
I agree. Yeah, sure. I'll go with that. I'm trying to steady my camera. Frank keeps going out of focus, although Jason seems to stay focused.
I think I poured myself a little extra aquavit.
Yeah.
Now, I might have made... What is this? Oh, no, this is it. Does anybody ever know that Grand Marnier was actually called Grand Marnier Cordon Rouge?
Oh, I remember that.
Really?
Yeah.
This orange liqueur, made from 51% fine French cognac and 49% garbage, 49% exotic bitter orange essence, is exceptionally aromatic and complex, with a silky, full-bodied palate and a long... harmonious finish.
Call? Oh.
In a mixing glass with ice, combine Grand Marnier and Campari, an ounce of each. Stir it to chill and dilute. Strain that into a chilled rocks glass over cubed ice. Top it with the soda water. Here they're calling for 2 ounces. And garnish with an orange zest. For life.
Do we have orange zest?
I brought, remember the orange from 2 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah.
He's back.
Oh, excellent.
Not the worst for wear.
A little older, a little wiser. Excellent.
We don't throw anything out.
No. There's one thing we don't do.
What is that one thing we don't do?
We don't get rid of the old oranges.
I'm sure there's another thing we don't do. What else don't we do?
We don't make money.
We don't do windows. That's right, we don't make money. Matter of fact, that's our motto.
Yeah, we don't make money, we make cocktails.
Okay, right. There we go.
So look at this.
Gluggy glug glug.
Now, ideally, this is going to use up all of this bottle that I've carried around all these years.
Your Grand Marnier.
Oh.
Damn it, there's still more! Oh, well.
It never empties. It's a bottomless bottle.
That's right, although there's probably not a half ounce left in there.
Yeah, that's something.
That's a little something for Christmas Eve.
There you go. There goes good. Whoa! Goes good with your orange juice and
pickles.
No.
Oh.
And sparkling wine.
Does it?
Make a little. Sure, you do a little float on top of your champagne and orange juice. Christmas morning.
Hmm.
What are you doing there?
Nothing.
Yeah, it looks suspicious. You're up to something.
None of your business. Mind your own P's and Q's over there. That was Campari going in on top of the stuff.
That looked like Campari.
Where'd my tongs go? Oh, I wonder how Kathy Tong is doing.
Yeah, how is Kathy Tong? The film reviewer from the Vancouver Sun?
I don't think so. Oh. The old Players Club.
Oh, right.
It went on to better and bigger things.
Don't they all?
They should. There we go. That's going to be the ice that we're going to pour it over.
Oh.
And we're supposed to stir it with some here, too, as well. And Dave has charged water.
Yeah, what's that?
I don't know.
It's like distilled water.
It's like distilled water?
No, it's not like distilled water. It's, it's pressurized. It's
that's right.
Carbonated.
Carbonated water. It calls for soda water.
Mm.
And I was going to use club soda.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's really the right thing.
I think it is.
I think that has something else in it. Because it doesn't just taste like water.
So no, I think it's sodium.
Yeah, sodium in it. Yeah,
that's what soda is.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think soda water is just charged water.
No.
Water with CO2 in it.
No.
We're pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't think so. That's the soda in... The soda in soda water is sodium.
I don't think so.
No.
Otherwise, they'd call it sodium water.
Well... They don't.
Yeah, exactly. Get a load of Mr. Ideas over here.
It's just science. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, you really gotta mix that guy, don't you?
Yeah. Is it all stick? It's not mixing well. Is it the curdling?
You want to chill it?
Oh.
You're trying to chill it and dilute it. So you probably want to do this for about a minute. Well,
really?
Dink tells you about sodium.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with this?
I think I am. I think I know the process now that you mention it.
All right. So we take this and we pour it.
Yes.
Over ice.
So this is Grand Marnier and Campari.
Yes.
Essentially.
Essentially.
And some water from the ice.
And some. And if you're lucky, there's some sodium.
Well, any luck.
Sodium nitrite.
I've got some.
It's a lovely color. Very. Seasonal?
Yes, it is seasonal. It's a lovely liqueur.
And so that'd be fairly sweet, I think. Because the Campari's got its sweetness and bitterness. Grand Marnier. Oh, here we go.
Is there a trick to opening this, or do I just turn it like a regular old lid?
Just turn it like a regular old...
There she blows!
I only did it 20 minutes ago, so pour it and it should be... should get some bubbles
out of it. Fizzy as fizzy can be. And so it's 2 ounces per drink, so 4 ounces. 4 ounces divided by 3 is?
4/3.
4/3.
One and a third, one and a quarter, plus a bit.
Yeah. So we'll do this little bit here. Oh, that is nice and fizzy, Dave. Dave does not disappoint when he charges water
onto
your bill. You can be sure. then you're getting what you paid for.
Yeah. I charge as much as a hotel does with their bar fridge. Wow. $8 for 5 millimeters of water.
And so that's it. That's the Grand Marnier Spagliato. So here's some fizz for your New Year's Eve.
Are we going to get some zestiness to it?
Oh, I'm sorry. I brought the zester thing as well. God damn it. Thank God you're here.
Yeah. See, Dave?
Let's get a nice big long peel of orange into everybody's glass.
Whoops. It's just, look at that. Oh,
it's like a squirmel. Remember squirmel? Here, we'll put it in the drink.
Yeah, that'll be, makes sense, doesn't it?
It's going to go in the drink eventually anyway.
Yeah. Oh, that's where you want your oil.
Yes.
Your citrus oil.
Now you're talking. This poor orange. And so, to David Wallawidnick and all the little Wallawidnicks, Huey, Dewey, and Louie Wallawidnick.
Hey,
you go,
Fredders. Oh, there's my drink. I was wondering where that went.
And so,
all right,
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And to you at home.
And to you at home. And you're listening to this in the end of February. Remember how happy you were at New Year? Well, that's how happy we are here.
Yes. So it's a little bit bitter from the Campari. It's a little bit orange from the Grand Marnier.
Yeah.
It's a little bit fizzy from Dave Coyne's charged water.
Mm-hmm.
I can taste the sodium.
Sure. That's why we call you Old Salt.
Is that why? Mm-hmm. I often wondered why I was called Old Salt.
I am. So yeah, the peel gives you a big nosy citrus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what irritates me about citrus, is nosiness.
Exactly. The sear.
Oh, you're giving yourself an extra squeeze.
I thought I would.
Now you got happens. Orange oil all over your fingers.
Yeah, no, and there goes my bank robbing career. the orange digit crook. Mmm.
So, yeah, I'd say that the bitterness from the Campari sort of comes through more so than the sweetness of the Grand Marnier.
Oh.
Codon Rouge.
I would say.
Yeah, now I kind of wish that we could compare it to the Spagliato. But
no.
We can't.
No.
The people at home could.
Mm-hmm.
We are SOL.
Yeah. Interesting, though.
I let my wife try it, and she, of course, gave her usual, Mr. Yuck face.
So we get another winner.
Yeah.
If she doesn't like it, we like it, and it's the way it goes. Yeah, it's a slightly bitter, but it's certainly
the oranginess seems very seasonal, very mm-hmm. of the season.
Yes, it's like if you got a Terry's Christmas orange,
yeah,
with booze in it,
then this is probably right up your alley.
Yeah,
and if you don't have an alley,
well, use a garden path.
Yeah,
it's the best you can do,
or up your back road.
I beg your pardon.
Sorry.
I bet you realize what you're saying just as you were saying it. I shouldn't have said that.
I shouldn't have. Yeah.
If you can't find a partner, use a wooden chair.
I don't like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's this stuff packs a hell of a
food
punch.
For thought from Jason Dedrick.
Have you ever had a daisy?
Oh, yeah.
Was it a gin daisy?
It probably was.
But you're not making one of those, are you?
Daisy. I'm not going to make a gin daisy.
What are you making then? You're slicing your orange, lime.
I'm going to slice a lime while we're sitting here talking about other things. Because this is a Saint Germain daisy we're going to make.
Oh.
Well, how is that different from what you might call it, the gin daisy?
Well, I don't know. There's no gin in it.
Remind us again what Saint Germain is.
Saint Germain is this bottle here.
Yeah, but what's...
Will you read it?
Yeah, Fred, see if there's a legend of the St. Germain elderflower liqueur.
Well, here on the tag...
There you go.
Written in mouse type.
Because we're professionals. I think that's something that we really can't stress enough, that we are... Sorry, not professionals.
Oh, and that's so right. The opposite of what we said the first time.
Right. So it says here, and I have no reason to doubt it, is that St. Germain is made with an infusion of freshly picked, important, hand-selected elderflowers. So you'd be going through the elderflower patch, mm-hmm. saying this one, this not this one, mm-hmm. but this one's okay. You're very selective. Hand-selected elderflowers, which impart a subtle mélange of flavors with hints of citrus and tropical fruits. Hmm. It just saves you the trouble of getting all the citrus and tropical fruits and mixing them together into a mélange.
From your local greengrocer.
Exactly. So instead, you just go and get yourself a handful of elderflowers.
Right.
From the elderflower...
Shop?
Shop? Tree? Bush? Shrub?
This might be one of those legendary things where there were supposed to be people that went around and picked them all up and they were harvesting fresh... Fresh elder flowers.
Yeah.
But
they were known far and wide for their picking skills.
Later revealed to be...
Frauds?
Completely untrue.
Complete frauds. Oh, that's sad.
Yes. Yeah. But it makes for a great story.
Yeah. But what a great bottle, though. I mean, it's got to be one of the top 10 bottles.
Oh, it's all about that. This is the stuff that they call bartender's ketchup for a while, I believe, isn't it?
I'd never heard of it.
Because when it came out, they just put it on everything, and it was like, oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah. And then eventually, it's only 20%.
Yes. So you got to get the little bottle, otherwise you're...
Oh, dear.
...in for a mess of hurt.
I've got one of these, and I've got one that's even smaller, but I haven't opened them yet.
Yeah.
So what they say here, and of course, it's imported for Bacardi Canada...
Oh, the Bacardi boys.
The Bacardi boys strike again. and they say in here, because they're legally obligated to say what's in it.
Oh, okay. Oh, are they? What's in it?
Well,
yellow number 5?
No, actually, it's better than you'd think. It's fruit spirit, elderflower, and sugar cane, which I think might be cane sugar, but...
Pure cane sugar?
Well, sorry, from Hawaii.
Sweetened by the sun?
Yeah. It could very well be. But it's a product of France.
Oh, okay.
It says so right on it.
Nice.
Must be true.
They wouldn't lie about a thing like that.
But sort of like a club. Like you could hit somebody with it.
So this Daisy's going to have some tequila in it. Have we had tequila in a drink yet?
We must have, because that bottle's not full. Of course, I drink it. Oh, that's your bottle.
Yeah, this is my bottle. It was brought back from... Have you ever heard of a country called Mexico?
Is it near the Bahamas?
Yes.
Yes.
Right next to the Bahamas.
Right. Perfect. Yes, I have heard of it.
Yeah. That's where this tequila comes from.
Oh, they make some of the best tequila there, I hear.
And this is tequila... I don't know how you say it. Reposado?
Desperado?
Why don't I come to my senses? And, yeah. That's what it said to call for, so...
You called for it.
I did. And there's no reason not to use it, because it has a vaguely yellowy color that matches the color of the Jerry St. Germain liqueur here. Remember Jerry St. Germain?
I do.
How do you remember Jerry St. Germain?
I remember all things St. Germain.
He's a certain St. Germaniac.
Oh, nice.
Is he heir to the St. Germain liquor fortune?
I don't think he's involved in the St. Germain liquor fortune, unfortunately.
Oh, much to his chagrin.
Yes, that wiped his chagrin right off of his face.
And now you're going to pour that wonderful...
We Saint used this drink. In another drink recently.
Mm.
And recently, I mean in the last 3 years. We used some. So it's an ounce of St. Germain, Reposado tequila,
mm-hmm.
a half ounce of lime juice, and then you're going to top it with a little bit of soda water.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. There's no reason that it shouldn't be fantastic.
No.
We don't have nice little glasses, so it's going to look like hell in these gigantic glasses that we have.
I've got some smaller glasses on order.
Really?
Yeah.
Good Lord. How does that help us now?
It doesn't. But I feel better about it.
Oh, you know what I love about this is that it uses a whole ounce of this stuff. So look at that. For a second, I thought half the bottle was gone.
No.
It's not.
No.
I'm stuck with this. All right.
I saw one. I think I got it from Lori. She gave me a cocktail recipe for a... It has like cucumber in it. I know they like to put cucumber in with the elderflower quite often.
So
we'll do that. Maybe we'll do that in the spring when the cucumbers are in season. And by spring, I mean summer.
Speaking of summer,
yeah.
I went outside today and got fresh sprigs of thyme.
What?
Off my very own thyme plant.
Wow. You have, there's still thyme when you're... You still have thyme?
I did this morning.
Yeah.
For a change.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give it a little bit of a... And we'll throw it in with that hunk of rather beleaguered-looking lime.
A little squeezy-squeeze.
Yeah. See if we can bring out a little bit of...
thyme oil? Mm. Are you all thymey now?
Yeah, I don't know what to... Oh, well, I mean, ideally it was supposed to go up on top of the drink, but but that ain't going to
work. It'll float.
It will
float. Like your better maraschino cherries.
So in a cocktail shaker, Ice, you put your Saint Germain, your tequila, and your lime juice, and you shake it vigorously, and you strain it into a prepared glass. Booyah!
Oh, you're not going to shake it vigorously, are you?
And then we top it with charged water.
That's not what it says. Though. It says soda water, doesn't it?
It says top with soda water.
Yeah.
Or sorta water. What I should probably do is put some ice into the cocktail shaker to make it official.
See, that's why you're
semi-professional bartender.
Exactly.
Yes. I am as qualified to do this as I am to play hockey. So let's throw these cubuses in here.
Is that what the professionals call them?
Yes, they're cubuses.
Mm, okay. Interesting.
Not really.
Is that Latin? It sounds Latin.
It probably is. Oh. It's from the Latin of aquavit. Aquavitae.
Aquavitae. Avec cubuses.
Life water. Mm, what is it?
Life water, yeah. There he goes. And he's up. He's going to have a first runner. It's Jason. Jason's in the lead. I don't know where to go from there. Is it really just you?
It's just me. He's just shaking, not stirring. Okay.
Now, here we go. What's it smell like, Jason?
It smells like elderflower liqueur. So here's these ridiculous glasses. Oh, well.
They could be great.
They could be. What the heck?
How much of the soda water?
This is, again, another 2 ounces.
Two, okay. Oh, yeah, a little on the low side, but then...
Un, deux, trois. Quatre, cinq, six. Sept, huit, neuf.
I didn't realize we're doing a bilingual podcast now.
Un, deux,
trois. Yeah, I think that first one's getting the short end of the stick here.
Well, you might be right. It's because it's so easy to count to undo clap, but the other ones require more thinking.
Yeah, it's like, what are the other numbers?
So it looks like your average daisy.
Eins, zwei, drei.
It's yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally it'll be a little bit sweet from our friend the elderflower liqueur.
Yeah.
Lovely liqueurs, as you might remember, is the theme.
We do.
Ish.
Yes. Yeah, so this is, it's lovely.
Yeah. And let's get some more of Dave's charged water.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of the people don't know this, but there's a lot of sodium in your average water anyway.
Exactly.
It's charged with soda. Yum.
Yeah, because it comes right out of the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that about us here.
Mm-hmm.
But on the west coast of Canada, we get all of our drinking water right out of the ocean.
Oh, yeah. It's so convenient.
Mm-hmm. So we'll put a splash of soda in there. Another splash in there, and to keep us all honest, a splash in there. I don't know how even I was. How does it look next to each other?
Well, from over here, it bang on.
It is bang on.
Yeah,
all right.
Well, you got a good eye.
So if you'll pardon the size of the glass.
The bad leg. Oh, I don't mind the size of the glass.
This will be the Saint Germain Daisy. For those of you that want to have fizz on New Year's Eve, but don't have any champagne in the house, but do have soda water, Grand Marnier, Campari, tequila, and Saint Germain elderflower liqueur.
Oh, we should mix them all together. Remember how we used to do that?
Mm.
Probably a bad one. I like the nose on this. This is kind of neat.
This is kind of neat.
I'm getting the smokiness, I think, a little something from the tequila.
Yeah, there is a bit of smokiness there.
I think.
There could be.
I'm making it up. But the thyme and the lime.
Now, the daisy, I think we found this out early on in the show, is related to the margarita.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the margarita is the Spanish word for daisy.
Right.
Right.
So it's a tequila daisy, a gin daisy, But here we've got elderflower.
Yeah.
And it's sweet and nice. In fact, it doesn't even taste like New Year's Eve. It tastes like a summer's evening.
This is cool.
Sure, it's cool. It's got ice in it. And time.
Let me rephrase that. I got no time. I got a little bit of time. I got a hint of time. I think it's, I call it primarily a tequila cocktail.
You could call it primarily a tequila cocktail.
I think the tequila's got the Dave's just guzzling his. He can't get enough of it.
Yeah, well, he's still a Cabo Wabo. He would show tequila to Dave Coyne.
Mm.
And he'll practically tequila you to get it.
Yeah, but it's it's very smooth. Tequila and lime. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't care what you put in with it, but adding the elderflower sort of civilizes it a little bit.
Yes, maybe that's what it does. It's taken the Swiss Alps and dumped it right there into downtown Guadalajara.
I can't determine the elderberry because I don't really remember what elderberry even tastes like.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Let's pour yourself a little bit of this stuff here. A little bartender's ketchup for Dave Coyne.
You know,
that's good. Thank you.
Yeah,
sure. Pour for it.
So. Mine's got, it reeks of aquavit.
Well, a little bit.
So do you.
Yeah.
That's Aquavelva, Jason. Aquavelva.
Yeah. Oh, Aquavelva. That's what he reeks of. I knew it was something. Reunivia on ice.
I forgot. That's nice.
It is nice. I think it gets a bad rap because it became so popular so fast and it has this weird story. But it's a nice little fruity liqueur.
Yeah.
20%. You can't go wrong. You could probably just mix that with soda water and have a hell of a time.
Oh, you could. But I can see now. So now that I've had that, I can definitely taste it in this.
Mm-hmm. And you can taste the tequila.
Yeah, it's the background that the tequila sort of floats on top of.
Mm-hmm. And I think, especially in the big glass here, when you get your nose in there, you get a bunch of the tequila on the nose, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I went to a tequila tasting once, and there was about 19 tequilas. It was way too many tequilas.
Yeah.
And they were all poured and open, and they were all in this room. And I went into it, and all you could smell was the tequila.
Mm-hmm.
It was disgusting. Mm. I didn't try more than about 10 of them.
No, yeah, they had to call it quits.
I honestly did, because the taste and the smell was sort of starting to get me. Because some of it was, there was also mezcal was poured that night.
Right.
And it was a burnt rubber thing.
Yeah,
and then there was
stinky.
This tequila, and I was like, oh, I put it in my mouth, and I was just like, I'm going to put it back into the glass.
I know, you need to be able to smell individually. So if the room is just a tequila haze,
yes.
It doesn't really help you when you're tasting.
No, but that's a great title for something, Tequila Haze.
That's
old Jimi Hendrix song, Tequila Haze.
It's a Spanish version of Purple Haze. It's,
yeah.
It's a mariachi band playing Purple Haze.
So they go back to the first one.
Oh, yes, I have a little bit of that one left here, too.
Mm. It's simple origins, sort of, you know, I don't know. It just seems like there's not enough going on compared to this
one. First one seems like it's just Grand Marnier,
Campari,
and water,
yeah.
Which happens to be a little fizzy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas this one, yeah, no, I think
there's some
you're
sort
right.
of magic with these two.
Yeah.
You know, and you got a pretty sweet tequila there.
Yes, I believe this is a pretty good quality tequila. It's 100% agave. It's Tequila Reserva 1800. I really don't know that much about it, other than it was brought back from Mexico for me.
Yeah. But I think that with the Saint Germain, and Saint Germain's got it's got a lot of subtlety in it. Well, not subtlety, a lot of flavors in it. No subtlety at all.
I think the neat thing about this bottle is that this little lid here is also works as a shot glass or a shot pourer.
Really?
Yes, you can actually hold it so that it fills up, and it holds an ounce of tequila right there in the lid for easy consumption.
Sure.
So tell that to the police officer that pulls you over.
Yep.
Say, it was right in the lid. I only had what was in the lid. But that's pretty good, eh? It's like a coffee percolator.
It is. Very nice. Well, now I feel like I should have one of those.
Yeah, well, you get yourself one of those.
And that's an aged tequila.
Is that what reposado means? Reposado? I don't know.
Somebody should look that up.
It probably means because it's got a little bit of color to it. A lot of your tequilas are just white and clear because they're made fresh and they're just squeezed it right out of the ground.
Well, it's like that rum agricole that I've got. It is literally unaged. I think it is like first squeezings. Yeah, quick, let's bottle it quick before it ages. I don't know what I'm going to do with that stuff.
So, what's your vote then? Is it going to be the Grand Marnier Spagliato or the St. Germain Daisy?
Tonight, for me, the St. Germain Daisy is the big winner.
I think I'm going to have to go with the St. Germain.
Yeah, me too. I don't want to, you know, don't want to agree with you guys, but I have to on this one.
I know, but you're so contrarian.
No, I'm not.
And the funny thing about tequila is that I don't think in my heart of heart I really like tequila, but there's a couple of drinks that involve tequila.
Yeah.
And I really like them. In fact, my least favorite part of those drinks
is the tequila.
The tequila flavor in it, even though I acknowledge that it works perfectly with what is going on. One of these is this one, and the other one is that other one with the grapefruit.
Yeah.
You mix it with like tequila and fresca and orange and lime.
That's right. So yes, like, and you can get that the Mexican pop that you mix it with the traditional way.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know that you want to. I think it was pretty good making it with real lime.
But artificial grapefruit pop is fantastic, right. And tequila.
Oof. Reposado, aged in oak casks.
Aged in oak casks. Yeah, nice.
But this is good. I don't know if my tequila is up to the task, but I might try it anyway.
You should, and so should you at home. And if you can't do it at home, you should go to the bar. And dig deep into your pockets, be a gentleman of elegant leisure, and tip big.
Is that a false ending?
Yeah, I think so. Because you're still recording, so.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I thought that was it.
Yeah, it's very close, though. You almost had it.
I got a New Year's party to get to.
You just weren't selling it.
Yeah.
But
sure. Normally, we get the wrong tense.
Right.
You should have tipped big, we said.
You should have been tipping bigging. What?
Bigger. Biggest.
But no, this is great. I RJ, who goes by the name of Tweedsmut, he actually posted a comment on our. I think he posted on Instagram.
Could be, yeah.
But he liked the last episode, so he's up to date.
We mentioned him.
We did.
We mentioned him on this one.
That's right.
Again.
Be another show.
He was. Have you been to Musso and Frank's in L.A.?
I have not been to Musso and Frank's in L.A.
All right, because he was there.
Really?
Yeah, late at night and drunk, apparently. So
if we were to go to L.A., could we hook up with...
I have no doubt.
Mr. Tweedsmut?
I think so. RJ.
RJ.
Yeah.
RJ Tweedsmut. That's a great name just on its own.
It is pretty good.
Hello, RJ. RJ Tweedsmut, Esquire.
Hey, it sounds like kind of classy. Like this. Birmingham Tweedsmuts.
Yeah, exactly.
Heir to the Tweedsmut fortune.
It hangs out with Reginald Van Gleason. That's one of those kind of characters. Exactly. An RJ Tweedsmut. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
Well, then, if we ever go to California again, which we won't.
No, but we're going in the spring.
Oh, are you?
Probably.
Good Lord. Well, then you got to hook up with him.
I think we might try.
Well, do it.
He seems to know stuff and go places. Right?
Fantastic. Oh. All right, RJ, you're going to meet up with Fred Partridge.
Yeah.
You'll recognize him by the gleam in his eye and his...
the stagger in his step.
And his loose lips.
What?
I don't know. You never close your mouth.
On account of all the sinking ships.
I have to address the fact that my wife just came up and goes, "You're finished, right?" I said, "No, we're still on the air. We're still."
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. And that's so, because Jason incurred his false ending.
That's right. Yeah, he said it.
He said it, but we didn't join in, so it's not an official ending.
Right. However, I'm the guy that edits it, and so all of this will not be in the show.
Oh.
Tip big.
Curse you.
But you notice how much looser we are now that we think the show is over.
Yeah, no, we can say anything.
Exactly.
But, hopefully. I think we're going for... It's all loosey-goosey at this point. We're thinking about 4 days, so...
I love loosey-goosey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. For Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
For New Year's, you have a nice...
Loosey-goosey.
I actually have a goose in the freezer right now. It is angry!
You do the goose again?
Is it the one that's as big as you?
It's the one that's as big as I used to be.
Oh,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's better.
Mm. I'm going to try a goose again.
Because aren't they troublesome?
They're as troublesome as you want to make them.
Hmm.
And if you've ever seen them in a park, you know that they come in already at about a 10 on the troublesome spectrum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, they're spoiling for a fight.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you bag your goose?
I was hunting at TNT Grocery.
Mm-hmm. And you shot one?
They had a sale on them, so I grabbed one.
So it's a little goose?
It's a little goose.
What's a little goose?
Like
24 pounds is a big turkey.
Oh, I see. I would guess that this is maybe a little bigger than a chicken. It's probably 5 or 6 pound goose.
Oh, so it's doable.
It's a doable goose. Yeah, it's a good experimental goose.
Oh, I love an experimental goose.
Yeah, the Nazis used to do a lot of work on gooses. Geese?
Geese?
I want to say.
Mm.
Yeah, experimental goose. Okay.
Well, because
what
goose,
you think?
For whatever reason, goose is very expensive.
Hmm.
You've got to pay top dollar for goose.
And yet the funny thing is, we have here in Canada, of course, the Canada goose takes our name. They're all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know why we're cooking those all the time.
I think you could eat them.
Are they protected? Do we know if the Canada goose is protected? Every other country that has a Canada goose complains about them.
Yeah.
England says they're a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
They poop everywhere.
They're awful.
They make a lot of noise.
I don't think they're protected.
Oh,
but there's a season. And, of course, anywhere around a city, you're not supposed to shoot guns or rifles in general.
What about arrows? What if you just shoot one with an arrow?
Yeah, no, if you have a crossbow or something like that, you can bring down a goose.
But yours goose is not a Canada goose. It's your regular goose?
This is probably a white goose raised on a farm. An eating goose.
Yeah.
But they're frozen solid because I don't think they think anybody ever buys goose. I think they kill maybe 20 geese a year.
I don't know.
And they ship them out.
Mm-hmm. You think they charge you the least they could just to get rid of them?
Mm-hmm. But I think that because they only had the 10, they put all of their retirement savings on the goose sale.
Yeah, so they're trying to get out of the goose business, and this is going to be the year.
That's right. So this TNT goose, I think, was maybe only 30 some odd
dollars.
It's got
dynamite in it?
Yeah, it's a TNT goose. Wait a second. I bought it from a coyote at the side of the road.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he tried to sell me a few. A big anvil tried to sell me.
Yeah, that's the guy.
The Wiley guy. Yeah, Wiley, yeah.
He had a big pile of coin food on the highway.
Like, highway.
I can't. It's full of ball bearings. Jumped in with a magnet. So I got this goose for a pretty good price compared to the last experimental goose I got.
Now, will you make this Christmas Day, Christmas Eve,
New Year's Eve?
I mean, next year when you create a goose.
When I finally thought. I don't know what I'm going to do with it because
maybe New Year's Eve.
Do you need something special with it? You going to stuff like an apple inside of it or a pear or something?
They have a kind of a small cavity.
Ooh,
really?
I took it to the dentist.
Take it back for filling?
I wouldn't spend a lot of money on it.
Yeah, because especially if you're going to eat it.
If it's a bridge, I wouldn't even.
Yeah.
Well, there's some insurance coverage.
All right, so I'm totally out of pocket. What do you do with a goose? I mean, I don't want to turn this into a cooking show, but I'm really hungry, so I'm interested to hear.
I'll tell you briefly what I did with the first goose.
Thank you.
There's a Jamie Oliver recipe for goose, where you get a goose, you poke it full of holes, not into the meat, just into the skin, because it's a fatty bird. Mm-hmm. A lot of fat will drain out of this bird. Mm-hmm. And then you got a bunch of vegetables, and you put them in a tray.
Yeah.
And he put the tray in the very bottom of his oven. Now, he has a gas oven, so it doesn't have that funny electric element that's at the bottom of an electric oven, like I do.
Okay.
But I made do when I did it. But anyway, he puts the tray down there, and then he takes the goose, and he puts it right onto the oven rack.
He's a nut.
Yeah. And before long, it starts giving up fat until you've got like about 4 feet of it in the rack in the bottom.
Mm.
And then the vegetables have been cooking in that.
Oh, okay.
You take them out, eventually you make a gravy out of that.
Mm-hmm.
The fat comes out of the bird. But because a lot of these TV chefs are quite confident in what they're doing.
No, they are.
And
take no prisoners.
Yeah. And so there was a key element.
Uh-huh.
Which was how long you would cook the bird for, based on its weight slash temperature, He didn't go into that. He said, just pop it in for another hour.
Cook it as long as you cook a goose. Yeah, as you know.
Goose length.
Yeah.
And so I think I might have overcooked it a little bit. Mm. It was a little bit dry in places. Mm. But now that I know what I'm after, you're after an actual temperature of a goose.
So you're going to do the same thing?
I don't know if I'm going to do the same thing, because it was a little weird to put it right on the rack there. I think with a little bit of care, you could do the same thing in a roasting pan, but you're going to have to go in at some point and dump that fat out of the roasting pan.
Right.
Even if you put a rack on top of the roasting pan, I think it would rain down enough without this cascading idea. But it was very tasty, and it was neat. It was different. What the hell?
Okay.
Hmm.
We're having turkey.
All right.
Turkey?
Yeah, that dry, awful bird?
Not the way we do it. It's a studio audience. One's just to move on.
Cough.
Isn't this a closed studio?
Yeah, it was.
You know what broke up the Beatles?
No. I thought it was George Harrison's constant nattering.
That didn't help.
No.
So, yeah. All right. So there is a goose at home. I forget how we got onto that.
Oh.
I feel like I was tricked into revealing that I had poultry in my freezer.
Well, you were. And the
is, there, is there public shame?
The police have been notified.
I don't think Tweed Smut will meet up with Fred knowing that he knows a guy that has a goose in his freezer.
Locked up in his freezer.
Honk, honk, honk. Oh, I was going to add this, though. The problem with Canada geese that I think of is because we've grown up in the city, and they're always in, like, Stanley Park eating garbage. And so the fact that I don't know why anybody would shoot one of those.
Yeah.
No. An actual wild one, it might taste okay eating whatever the awful thing is that geese eat usually. Yeah. Water bugs?
Slugs? They seem to be, there seems to be some marshy thing eating grass-like
lead pellets from 100 years of shotguns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, the thing to eat, I think, is a chicken that's grown up in a in a situation where it's eaten.
It's just in a cage.
Yeah, seed, feed, water.
Sure.
Not slugs and frogs.
No.
So I shouldn't eat herons?
Yeah, well.
I think they're protected.
You sure?
I think you can't
shoot. There seems to be a lot of them around.
No, I don't think you can hunt.
I don't. I'm going to lay a trap in my pond.
You could probably get a heron over a stork.
Yeah.
But either way, you got to fold them into the oven. That's a lot of
I don't know if I've got a pan the right size. Do you have any stork pans? Because I think a heron and a stork would probably be about the same size.
Probably. But when you think about the actual body part, it's much like the Wile E. Coyote Red Roadrunner thing.
Yeah.
You know, the Roadrunner only had that tiny little body.
That's right. Hardly worth pursuing.
Yes. No. The futility of it.
Yeah.
Somebody should have pointed that out in the 50s when that first cartoon came out. This is fake! What a futile...
Wily. You're not so wily after.
You'd be better off going after rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
Really. Yeah. Or people's pets.
Yes, domestic cats.
That's a real coyote.
That's where coyotes...
Yeah. That's where they get
that's
the
where that's where the sweet spot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not some skinny roadrunner. Tiny little bird running around. Crazy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm starving.
Yeah, I know. You want to get the hell out. You're like me.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, when's dinner?
When's dinner?
Well,
soon.
I hope so.
It's going to be a goose.
Oh, excellent.
So what are we going to do for 2019? What are our plans?
I have no plans.
Good.
The only plan
it's
I
wide
have,
open.
And this is going to make the show interesting, is that I'm going to quit drinking.
That'll be an interesting twist.
It will be.
Well, we'll see how that works.
Yes.
Well, you can just... I'll just give you a little shot glass.
You just
switch it around in your mouth and
just
spit it out.
Sniffing.
It could do that.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm going to make an effort to not drink.
Just every 2 weeks?
Well, I don't even know if I'll do that. I might just give comments. I might make pithy comments.
Yeah. Well, you do that.
Yeah.
Sure. That's what you do now. Maybe you even get paid for it.
Exactly.
If we get a sponsor.
There won't be any sponsor. What if I dripped all over myself?
I'm going to get something boozy.
I think you're probably right. Or I leaned into the time napkin.
Three out of four bottles on the table contain booze. Actually, 9 out of 10.
Hmm. Well, this is the part where I'll pitch our social media accounts. You can visit us at instagram.com/cocktailpodcast.
Excellent.
Or on Facebook, facebook.com/cocktailgents.
Yeah.
That seems to be going quite well.
Yeah.
I'm quite pleased with our Facebook page.
Seems I haven't been doing anything. I don't know what to put up there. I don't have anything that you don't have.
Why? You put stuff up on Instagram. Why can't you put stuff up on Facebook? It's very not that much different.
So I should put my stuff up on our Facebook?
Why not? You put that cocktail podcast at the end of every year Instagram post.
So that's that you know by
But I can't do anything with that.
Well, you can say, yay, way to go, Fred. Yeah. You can tell me to, you know, make my own notes. That was a bit rude, I must say.
That's so funny.
You have no idea.
No, of course you're
going to clean my mug out.
You're not even on.
All right. Hey, well, how are we going to... We need three people to close this thing off. Where are you going? Are you warming your car up?
I thought you were discussing Facebook.
No,
we're done.
It's all over.
Oh, okay.
And where do they go to our website, Jason? What's that?
You go to gentlemanofelegantleisure.com.
Wonderful.
Start with G, and it should auto-fill it in.
Oh, by now.
Because you've gone so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course not. Of course.
We mentioned the Instagram, so I think we got it all covered.
Yes. So all we have to do is really wish people a safe and happy new year.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Happy new year.
We have new Arbor Day. New drunk driving laws came into effect in Canada this season, and so you can't leave your house now if you've touched a bottle.
No,
that's right. You guys brought your sleeping bags.
Yes, that's right.
Spread out on the floor. And
we could actually be in trouble, because if you get pulled over for any reason, the police can ask you to do a breathalyzer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say, I don't want to, the minimum fine is $2,000.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
And pretty soon you'll pull you over for, you know, smoking dope, right?
Yeah, well, you hope.
It's a lesser fine?
Hope that somebody... No, maybe. You just want them pulling them over.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to have to...
No.
You know.
Well, there you go. Yes.
So, yes.
Drink responsibly.
Most of your better liquor stores now will deliver.
Yeah.
And when that guy comes to your door, he's been out...
From Drizzly?
From Drizzly, from Drizzly, or any other guy that might be delivering alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
He's had to be at a bunch of other people's houses. Yeah, he's probably had a gun pointed at him already. Yeah. Slapping
all over town.
He's had to work through the holidays.
Yeah. He can't drink and drive because he's the guy that's driving.
Yeah,
with all the drinks.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he's lucky to pull in maybe $300 or $400 a night.
Oh, I should do that.
Of course, you should be doing that.
Right.
And do you know why he pulls in so much money as he drives around through sleet and snow and high water?
No.
I don't, neither do I.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
Because I think somewhere along the route, he's more than likely delivered to a gentleman of elegant leisure.
Of course he has. Yeah.
And you know what gentlemen of elegant leisure do? Gentlemen of elegant leisure do?
I sure do. Gentlemen of elegant leisure,
tip big.